Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 1:57 Pacific Summer Time, and today is December 18th. Well, after a great deal of speculation, the Fed has finally embarked upon its tapering initiative. And if we reduce this decision back to simple supply and demand, then the US government's deficit has been decreasing, and that necessitates, or the need really, to continue to issue an increasing number of treasuries has also decreased. Therefore, the requirement for the Fed to basically to support the treasury by buying up its bonds has also decreased. Therefore, when we think about the $85 billion that's been added into the market on a monthly basis, the need to continue at $85 billion has decreased somewhat, and to continue to add additional stimulus into a market where supply is contracting would be directly inflationary. So at least part of that reasoning has been factored into the Fed's decision today to reduce the quantitative, the amount of purchasing that it is doing on a monthly basis by $10 billion. And they're leaving the door open for an additional $10 billion at the next meeting. And of course, they will remain flexible with regard to how the economy is likely to react to this change in monetary policy. There's been a great deal of speculation about exactly how this would affect equity markets. And despite a little bit of uncertainty directly after the meeting, what we're seeing is that the Dow Jones was up by 1.8%, the S&P at a new high and 1.66% up on the day, and the Nasdaq reversed an earlier decline of about 1% to finish up on the composite at least by 1.15%. This was also a pretty positive day in Europe, which obviously closed ahead of the Fed's decision. But we saw a number of upside key day reversals on Monday in Europe, and while markets were a little bit softer yesterday, we saw some additional follow-through in here today. So the CAC was up by 1%, the DAX up by 1.06%, the FTSE was relatively unchanged but has held on to the vast majority of its advances from Monday, and generally quite a positive tone right across Europe. And in Asia, perhaps the most noteworthy market was Japan, where the Nikkei was up by over 2%. And we can anticipate that that is going to probably be up additionally in here tomorrow. Where, if we look at what the effect of tapering is likely to be on various asset classes, then stock markets are, by and large, at least on Wall Street, reasonably overextended relative to the 200-day moving average. In the case of the Nasdaq, that's about 10%, and in the case of the S&P, a pretty similar percentage. The Dow Jones, however, had more of a pullback and has found support now in the region of the upper side of what had been a six-month range. The Dow had spent much of this year underperforming the other indices and now is finding support just where it needed to, and was led higher today by 3M, which has increased its dividend by really quite a substantial number. So the Dow Jones can be thought of as a proxy for the autonomies, and that moving back to a position of outperformance is to be welcomed. If we think about tapering and this correlation that has developed between the size of the Fed's balance sheet and the performance of the S&P 500, then the reduction of $10 billion in purchases on a monthly basis will eventually result in a loss of momentum for the increases in the size of the Fed's balance sheet, and that is also likely to transfer into or result in a eventual loss of momentum for some of the stock markets, provided that this reliance on the multiplying effect of leverage and access to abundant liquidity is still to remain the case. And given today's performance, there's absolutely no reason to believe that anything has really changed. And a reduction in the increase in the size of the Fed's balance sheet is not the same as a decrease in the size of the Fed's balance sheet. So this very accommodative monetary policy that we have become very much accustomed to in the last 5 years is still very much in evidence. In the bond markets, the US treasuries were a little bit softer in here today, but not in any kind of dynamic way. And that really helps to drive home the point that a $10 billion reduction in the pace of purchases doesn't really amount to much in terms of any kind of tightening. Whereas what we've seen in the last 6 months is that the bond investors have already begun to price in the end of supports and the end of the momentum trade in terms of supporting these government bonds. And really what we need to start to see is a more mature process of tapering with an eventual some visibility on exactly when interest rates are going to begin to rise. And the way things are looking at present, that could be for at least another few years. So we're likely to remain in a very low interest rate environment for quite some time. And in terms of government bonds, that, and in terms of the yield, that would suggest that we're going to see some additional ranging in the region of this 3% area on the 10-year yield. What tapering means for various asset classes is perhaps most relevant for the US dollar. The US dollar was among the weaker currencies in the world over the last 10 years and has been mostly range bound against major currencies such as the euro for the last few years. But what we see now is that if we're approaching the end of one of the largest money printing exercises in history, then the supply of dollars entering the global market is likely to decrease, and if supply decreases, then the value should start to appreciate. So while the dollar was pretty quiet following the announcement, as we approach our following the close in here today, the dollar is a bit firmer against the euro, and the euro has got up to around the 137-138 level over the last few months, and that's in the region of an historic region of resistance for the euro. And the tapering of quantitative easing is positive for the dollar, so there is potential here for the euro to weaken against the dollar. The yen, where you have the Japanese embarking on their own quantitative easing, and really nowhere close to the end of that program. In fact, I mean, their quantitative easing program is still relatively young compared to the programs that have been in evidence in the US and in the UK for the last number of years. So there is really quite a lot of potential for the yen to continue to weaken. And considering that you have this correlation between the weakness of the yen and the strength of the stock market, really driven by the Bank of Japan's efforts to contain deflation and really adopting an outright inflationary bias, then the yen moved to a new low in here today. So the dollar now is up to 104.25 and was weaker by over 1.5 yen in here today. It was stronger by over 1.5 yen in here today against the Japanese yen. So that suggests that we're potentially completing what has been a fairly difficult 6 months from the perspective of someone who's been waiting for the next big action in Japan. And the stock market is also on the cusp of breaking out of what has been a six-month range. So this is potentially much more important for Japan in terms of stock market potential than it is for Wall Street, which has already developed these overbought conditions on a considerable number of the larger companies. And the commodity complex was a bit weaker in here today, with dollar strength, the gold price having been is currently trading at $1,218, which is down about $1,270 on the day, and silver is down about 10 cents, and the industrial metals were reasonably quiet in here. David wrote about sugar yesterday, and It continued its decline in here today. That is one of the commodities that is becoming really starting to accelerate lower, becoming really very oversold, cheap on a relative basis. And the first clear upward dynamic is really likely to suggest that we're going to have some short covering and potentially quite a sharp rally when that begins to kick in. And the other interesting one in here is the Canadian dollar in the currency basket. The Canadian dollar has this, well, the US dollar has this base formation characteristic against the Canadian dollar and was stronger in here today by an additional full cent. So there is potential here for the Canadian dollar to begin to pull back from its historically very high levels and unwind what has been a period of really remarkable strength over the last decade. So there is, when you look at commodity currencies, and the Australian dollar also falls into this category, we've gone through a decade of remarkable strength for those currencies, and we're now starting to see that some of the factors that act to weaken other currencies have reversed. So whereas the euro was weak and the commodity currencies were weak against the US and Japan was weak against the US dollar today, the pound was stronger by over a full cent. And that was boosted by impressive employment numbers in the UK, but also the fact here that you have the financial sector beginning to turn the corner. And generally speaking, the pound has this base formation characteristic against the US dollar and is currently testing the upper side of that base. And really a clear downward dynamic would be required to now suggest that there is supply dominance at the upper side of this base. We could be potentially reasonably close to seeing the pound break out of that base. And very much like we see with the US, the UK market has been not as attractive over the last number of years because the pound has been weak. But if we start to see the pound returning to a position of outperformance, then the relative attractiveness of holding UK assets will improve. So that's certainly a consideration from the perspective of UK investors. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, and I wish all the best to all of you.